Throughout the years of the Bush administration, debate about torture met a brick wall in Washington with the government mantra that the US does not torture. The leaks which undermined that line gradually turned into a torrent, and on April the 16th this year, President Barack Obama released the so-called torture memos. They're Justice Department documents describing interrogation techniques authorized for use by the CIA against detainees in secret detention that violate the international prohibition on torture. So in many ways, the American debate is still just beginning. The professor of political science at Reed College in the US, Darius Rajali, is an internationally recognized expert on government torture and interrogation, here to give a lecture in the Sydney University Sydney Ideas series.
It's starting to have the debate that it should have had for the last 8 years. It still operates under many illusions about itself. One of them is that it seems to think that torture is a policy and not a culture and an institution, which has now settled into the American government and the military. And it will take it at least a decade for it to deal with the full nature of what this process is.
Now, what do you mean by that?
When you engage or authorize torture, you set into motion a series of inevitable institutional changes which make it almost impossible to reverse by policy or by decree. So, for example, let me give you an interesting one. We know that whenever torture is authorized in international war, when soldiers come back, they typically choose professions such as private security or domestic policing, and they bring to it the skills that they learned out in the military. So very typically within a war situation, within a 10 or 20 year period, you find in countries which authorize torture, domestic torture crises that emerge in Chicago, for example, after the Vietnam War. Waterboarding, which we now know as a common torture in the United States, emerged after the Spanish-American War and the Philippine insurgency when many American soldiers came home. We are looking at a police torture crisis sometime in the next 10 or 20 years. Another example would be whenever you authorize torture in your intelligence agency, you create a division between the people who are professional policemen, interrogators, and the torturers who just want to cut to do the shortcuts.
We're seeing that in the open now, aren't we?
We are. And we were seeing it before when we were seeing the many retirements of CIA and FBI counterterrorism officials as well in the Bush administration period.
Because there was an FBI translator interrogator mm-hmm. who has thrown himself right into the middle of the debate by saying that we were getting better intelligence before we started torturing. In fact, after we started torturing, we stopped getting the intelligence.
Yeah, Abu Sufyan, yeah. And he's not the only one. Jack Clunan, who was interviewing Yusuf Sheikh al-Libi in Afghanistan, says that al-Libi was communicating quite well with him, and what he knew about was al-Qaeda training camps. But people from another secret organization came by, took him up, and all of a sudden Mr. al-Libi was referring to al-Qaeda being trained by Saddam Hussein in weapons of mass destruction, which turned out to be the key piece of evidence that Powell presented to justify a war. Coerced information, in this sense, produces all these false leads, which led us into a situation which we still have to escape.
But whom do we believe? Because Dick Cheney and several senior intelligence people have come out and said, we got real valuable intelligence from the
And
torture.
I look forward to the data. really, as a scholar, there's nothing more interesting than data. I'm not interested in the policy statements, but what I can tell you from the past is that whenever we have heard statements of this sort from senior political officials, English, French, whatever, what we discover is that in the course of time, it's deeply embarrassing. I'll give you an example. During the In 1973, during the Irish Troubles, the Parker Commission claimed that the torture of 14 Irishmen in Northern Ireland prevented 85 terrorist attacks, led to the arrest of 700 IRA members, and the capture of tons of munitions. None of these claims ever came to pass. The French claimed that during the Battle of Algiers, torture worked for them. In fact, when we now have the partial access to the archives, what we find is that torture was terrible. It produced incredible rates of error, and most of the great leads happened through standard police practices. So it's always very embarrassing, and I doubt that the evidence that Mr. Cheney will wants released is going to show anything differently. Of course, we have to wait and see. What I will say is that I'm really gratified that the Republicans want a document dump. Most people forget that the French torture crisis nearly led to a military coup and the overthrow of General de Gaulle in 1962. And it didn't happen, but it was very close. It certainly led to the collapse of the Fourth Republic. In the American case, what I think is wonderful is that both sides of this want document dumps. They want the whole thing cleared up. And I think that's a good sign of American democracy surviving this.
But what about prosecutions? Do you think there should be prosecutions of the people, for instance, who wrote the legal documents that allowed the torture?
Well, I certainly think that if you give lousy legal information, you shouldn't be a lawyer. And you shouldn't, if you were a lousy policeman, you shouldn't be a policeman. I think these straightforward professional actions need to be taken. I know many people want prosecutions. I believe that investigations and prosecutions are valuable, but with an eye towards prevention rather than towards blame. I think there is nothing that predicts future torture as much as past impunity. That's the evidence. Basically, there's always somebody who thinks the other guy's got away with it, why not me? And that's a dangerous prospect. So I think there are many other things that I would like to see done that would also work towards prevention in conjunction with prosecutions. President Obama has said that he won't prosecute people who were obeying the law as had been given to them. But there are two things to note here. One is that it's pretty clear that certain officials and agents went well beyond what the law prescribed. So, for example, in the torture memos that were released, Mr. Bybee is informed by the CIA that they're only going to waterboard 7 or 8 times. Well, when they waterboard 83 or 183 times, someone went beyond their mandate, and so they are in violation of the law. They could be prosecuted for that.
Professor Darius Rajali, Professor of Political Science at Reed College in the United States, who's giving the Sydney Ideas Lecture at Sydney University on June 2nd.